There are three things that preachers sometimes have a difficult time talking about. Not always, but sometimes they have a difficult time talking about money, about sex, and about raising children. And I think it's a challenge because these are very deeply personal matters, obviously. So my purpose this morning is to speak on the topic of children, because they are an important part of our lives. And I'm sure you know how much I enjoy being a father. You've heard me say it many times. For me, it's a great blessing. And we're going to look in a moment in the Bible as our guide, as we should, of what it says about children. But I'm also going to share from my personal experience and beliefs. And I want you to know that that's okay, because we do believe, first and foremost, that the Bible is our authority, our final authority in all truth. But we also recognize as a church the importance of tradition, reason, and experience. And so I'd like to share a little bit of what I say will be from my experience. But before we do that, three quick disclaimers. You know, it's going to be an interesting message when the pastor gives disclaimers at the beginning. Number one, there will be some of you who might feel that this message won't relate to at all. You might not have any kids, or you might think you're never going to have kids. And what does this have to do with me? And I would say that all is not lost, as I've emphasized already this morning, that as part of the congregation, we are together investing in the lives of children. And there are going to be children in your life, whether they are born of you or not. Secondly, this message isn't about being a perfect parent. There is no such thing as a perfect parent, as I'm sure you are aware. I've made my share of mistakes, just like anyone else. And if you have any doubt about that, just ask my wife. Actually, don't ask her, but you know, you could. This message isn't about creating shame or guilt or anything like that. We're going to be looking forward, not backward. And third, there may very well be things that are said today that you might not like. And you might even feel like I'm stepping on your toes, and I can only say that I don't do that. I don't do that intentionally, at least. I will never throw something out at you because I know that that's what you need and drive it in or something like that. That is never my intent. But I do pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us and comfort us, and where necessary, provoke us in accordance to his will. So those are my disclaimers this morning. And with that, I'd like to begin with a reading from Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, which for me are the basis for this message. Psalm 127 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." Very interesting part at the very end, that they will not be ashamed when they contend with their opponents in court. So somehow our children are going to be our defense one day. Children are a blessing. You've heard me say that before, and I'm sure you've heard other people say that, you've read that, but it is true, and we need to be clear on that. The children are a blessing. Yes, they're a huge chore, and yes, they're a huge responsibility, and yes, it will impact you for the rest of your life, and yes, you will have sleepless nights, and you will not be able to do whatever you want, whenever you want, and there are hardships, and there are sacrifices, and so much more. But according to Psalm 127, children are a blessing. They are not a liability. The psalmist calls them a reward. It's a good thing. It's a joy. It's a blessing to have children in our lives. I'm not sure how we got to, and I'm not saying everybody does, but many people see children as a liability instead of the blessing that they are. That's why the blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And I'm sure that there are many ways the psalmist could have described the blessing of children, but I am intrigued by the analogy that is used. He says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. I find that interesting that children are compared to arrows. You know, I hadn't thought of that previously before I came to the scripture. What could the psalmist mean? Children are like arrows. Well, arrows are an asset. When you have them, you're well prepared. You're protected. You're covered. In fact, if you were a warrior, you wouldn't dream of going out without them. For the warrior, the arrows were not a hindrance. They were not a liability. They were essential for their own well-being. And likewise, from what I gather, the psalmist is saying that children are not a liability. They're not a hindrance. They're an asset. Children are not a distraction from life's work. Children are life's work. Arrows are a blessing to the warrior. Arrows also need to be cared for. You can't just take any piece of wood and fashion it into an arrow. You got to find something straight, or you have to straighten it. There's the care of the feathers. They need to be sharp. They take time. For an arrow to be effective, it needs to be treated properly, with care. It's an investment in time and energy. You don't just, you know, neglect it and then find, oh yeah, now I need this. And we know the same is true with children. Children take great time and energy, and they cannot be neglected. Arrows are also meant to be released, and this perhaps is the most important part for us. At the right time, they need to be let go. God has given us the awesome responsibility to shape our children, to sharpen them, to care for them, but at the right time, to release them into the world as well. I like to think of it this way. Children are our opportunity to shape the future long after we're gone. When the time is right, we need to release our children. When they've grown, we need to let them. We need to let them go. That was very important for me as a parent, to let them go, to let them be their own person at the right time and in the right circumstances. All of that to say, children are our greatest blessing. They are also our greatest challenge. And I would add, they are our greatest mission field. They are our first priority. Someone once said, as I've mentioned before, children are not a distraction from the more important work. They are the most important work. Children are our most important work. So how do we get How do we go about that work? Well, to that, I turn to another passage of Scripture that I have referred to many times over the past few years, and that is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And the main point that I see in this passage of Scripture is simply the basic fact that teaching our children is our responsibility, and an awesome one at that. And I realize, of course, that children over the course of their lives will have many teachers, many people who are influential in their lives, as there should be. But let us not forget that the overall responsibility of teaching our children, particularly in the areas of life that are most critical, and I'm talking about values and faith, it is the responsibility of the home. It's not even first and foremost the responsibility of the church and the Sunday school, as important as they are. The first responsibility is you, Dad and Mom. You have the first responsibility towards the care and teaching and the shaping of your children. Shaping our children's minds and hearts is our responsibility. Don't ever, ever let that go to anyone or anywhere else. Secondly, what I really see in this passage of Scripture is that we need to be intentional in our teaching and shaping of our children's minds. We can't just leave it to chance. We can't just leave it to, well, we'll see whatever happens. We have to be intentional, and it also has to be natural. It has to be both. I love how Deuteronomy talks about teaching our kids the values of God from morning till night. It's not like the kids were going to be in a class from morning until night, but life itself was going to be a class for them. What the Scriptures is saying is that whenever you have opportunity, teach your children, and not just in an organized way, although that is certainly necessary, but also in a very natural way. When you're walking along the road and when you're sitting at home, impress these things on your children. When you lie down, when you get up, whether you're coming or going, we need to be focused on that. It has to be part of our lives. And it needs to be a very natural part of our lives. We need to live what we believe. You know, if we say one thing at home and it doesn't match what we do when we're out of the home, when we're in the marketplace or somewhere else, then we're not going to be very effective as teachers. If we say one thing at the home, and then when we're out in public and we're doing something and it contradicts what we said at home, it's not going to work out very well. Our kids are going to pick up on that right away. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul challenged the believers. He said, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." What Paul is doing is he's calling on believers to imitate God in the same way that children imitate their parents. And they do, and they will. Children will imitate you. Whatever you are doing in a small degree right now, and you might think it's fun, and you might think it's harmless, the children are going to imitate that. If you use words and language around the home, and the kids are hearing that, they're going to pick up on that, and they're going to use that themselves. And then parents are shocked. Where did that come from? Children will almost always follow the example of their parents. If the parents say one thing and do another, you could be sure that children will quickly learn to do the same. If Jesus' command to take up your cross and follow him daily means that you give up 1 hour a week every other Sunday to come to church, then that's pretty much what taking up the cross is going to mean for your children. If talk doesn't line up with walk, it's going to be noticed very quickly, and more often than not, it will drive them away. Now, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of other reasons and other things that will also tend to drive our children away from faith. There are temptations, there are bad influences, there are many other things that could hinder our children's spiritual growth, and our children even have free will. Yeah, I know, sometimes we wish they didn't, but they have free will, and they will do some things on their own accord. And if you have children that have maybe gone off in a direction that you would not have liked them to see and go, let me encourage you. Adam and Eve were God's first children. I would say that God must have been a pretty good parent, and yet they went their own way too. They exercised their free will and went contrary to what their father would have wanted for them. And if God has children who went on their own, who are we to think that that's not a possibility for our own kids, no matter what we do? But our part is to shape them and influence them and live authentic, godly lives. And that's what we can do. That's our part. They will grow. They will make their decisions. Our part is to live authentic lives of faith before them. And just as we're wrapping up this morning, I'm not going to be much longer. I just wanted to quickly mention three very practical things that, in my mind and experience, are essential when we're talking about children. And that is that we must pray, we must set boundaries, and we must give them our time. It should go without saying that we need to be praying for our children. Praying for our children, actually, no matter how old they are, it doesn't matter. I am sure that my mother and father were praying for me 5 years ago before they had passed away. Even though 5 years ago I was well into my 50s, they were still praying for me. I'm sure of that. We need to be praying for our children. That is a top priority. Secondly, in terms of a practical area, I would say that we need to set boundaries. We must not be afraid to say no. If you have young children, particularly if you have young children, do not be afraid to say no. One person I read referred to it as vitamin N for no. Give them some vitamin N. We need to set those boundaries. Once we relinquish those boundaries and spread them out, it's almost impossible to bring them back in again. So my thinking has always been to let them out slowly and carefully and not rush it out. Boundaries are important, and kids need boundaries. I was watching a video that explained this in a very dramatic way. The person said that, what do people do when they go on a roller coaster? Who likes roller coasters? Right? Yeah, a bunch of you, right? First thing people do when they go on a roller coaster, once they get strapped in and they get the bar in front of them, is they pull up on the bar to make sure it's actually engaged. They do that every time. Because that bar is their safety. They need that. We need that. And for kids, the boundaries are their safety net. You create these boundaries and you say, within this circle, you are safe. And when they want to go beyond that, you need to say no. No, now is not the right time. Maybe next year, maybe in 5 years, but not now. Boundaries, saying no is so important. And I said I'd do it quickly, so I better move on. Number three is we need to give our kids time and lots of it. One of the hazards to raising kids is the notion of quality time. You can take that term and just throw it out the window. Quality time. What that means is, just give your kids a brief glimpse of life and ignore them the rest of the time. They don't need quality time. They need quantity time. They need lots and lots and lots of quantity time. Imagine a husband coming home to his wife after a long day that she's had and he's had, and he says to her, I'm going to give you 3 minutes of quality time right now. I'm going to listen to you intently. We're going to talk about whatever is on your heart for 3 minutes, and then the rest of the time I'm on my own. But I've given you quality time. No, that doesn't work. We need quantity time and lots of it. We give our kids everything, gadgets, clothes, gifts, but we don't always give them our time. So kids need time, and I'm running out of it. In the end, we need to touch our children's heart. It's not just about educating them. It's not just about teaching them to memorize the lines, the commandments, and all of that is good. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your heart. We need to touch our children's heart, not just their head knowledge, but their heart. They can recite things, but we need to touch their heart. It needs to be embraced in the heart of the person. And I realize that all this is an enormous challenge, a huge challenge. And sometimes, quite frankly, it is overwhelming. And I thank God that my kids have been raised, and I don't know. I really don't know how I would do it today. But I could say that thankfully God gives us his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. We don't normally read this in reference to children, but let me tell you, it applies especially to raising children. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Yeah, I need that. I need that, and I am thankful for the grace of God in my life as a parent, and I am sure that you are thankful for the grace of God in your life and in the lives of your children. We have an incredible responsibility, an incredible privilege to raise up a new generation of arrows and send them off into the world. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come to you this morning, and And we thank you, Father God, for the incredible, incredible privilege of raising children. Ourselves, or receive them from others, or are caring for children that are in our congregation, or nieces or nephews or cousins or whatever else. Lord God, we just thank you for the powerful opportunity that you have given us to shape the lives of these little creatures that go around and biting ankles and one day will be men and women of God. We pray, Father God, that you'd help us to set our sight on the long term, where they're going, what they're doing, what they will become. And Lord, we pray for grace. We need your grace because our ability is insufficient in so many ways and in so many times. And I thank you for the parents that I see around here today, Lord God. I thank you for the incredible patience that they have, for the love that they have, for their involvement in their lives of children, for their diligently shaping the lives of kids, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for so much. And Lord, I also pray for parents this morning whose kids have grown up. And maybe they've gone out of the house long ago, and some are serving you, and some perhaps are not. But Father God, we pray for your grace upon them as well. We pray, Father God, that you in the course of time would draw them back to you. Lord, that your Spirit would touch them where perhaps we weren't able to. And Lord, that your grace would be upon them today. So we commit them to you as well, as we commit our parents here today. And Lord, for the ones that will become parents in the days ahead, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.